Welcome to the Gooder Podcast, where we talk with powerhouse women in CPG about their journeys to success. This episode is sponsored by Retail Voodoo, a brand development firm guiding mission-driven consumer brands to attract new and passionate consumer base, crush their categories through growth and innovation, and magnify their social and environmental impact. If your brand is in need of brand positioning, package design, or marketing activation, we are here to help. You can find more information at www.retail-voodoo.com.
Hi, I'm Diana Bright here, the host of the Gooder Podcast, where I get to talk with the powerhouse women in the food and beverage and wellness categories about their journeys to success and their insights into the industry. This episode is brought to you by Retail Voodoo, a brand development firm providing strategic brand and design services for brands in food, wellness, and beverage industries. Our clients include Starbucks, Kind, REI, PepsiCo, Hi-Ke, and many other market leaders. If your goal is to crush your competition by driving growth and disrupting the marketplace with new and innovative ideas, easy enough to say, give us a call and let's talk. You can check us out at retail-voodoo.com. Okay, today we get to meet Becca Sheps, who is the founder and CEO of Mortal Ventures, who produces Mortal Kombucha and Mortal Triple X Hard Kombucha. Prior to founding Mortal, Becca worked as a freelance creative director across many industries, including many CPG and natural food product brands, including Yasso, One Bar, Stages Cycling, Carrots, Pearly Zumi, and more. She helped launch thefeed.com. We'll have to hear more about that. A DTC sports nutrition subscription service based out of Boulder, Colorado. She has extensive ad agency experiences across all type of media, while working at, I always call him CPB, Crispin Porter Boguski, love, favorite, like dream job in a previous life, RG&A, Saatchi New York, and Hal Reiny, just the big boys, the most respected in the community, helping build brands, develop campaigns, and launch products for everybody from Nike, Fruit of the Loom, Jell-O, General Mills, and more. I could go on. It's really long, but you guys get the idea. Okay. And the really fun part for me is Becca and I, and actually my business partner, David, we all got to meet during this really fun thing that BevNet did. Well, was it 2 years ago or is it a year ago now, Becca?
I don't even know.
Remember that? I feel like it's been so long. Anyways, so it's been fun to watch what she's been doing with Mortal Kombucha since then. And we get to learn a little bit more about this awesome brand. Welcome, Becca.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Yeah. Hey. All right. Mortal Kombucha, fun name. Why don't you tell for most of the people out there that are listening that maybe haven't heard, I have a really eclectic audience out there. Tell us about Mortal Kombucha. What does it stand for?
Yeah. So we like to say now we've officially changed to Mortal. Mortal Kombucha was a little small, short-sighted as me, because we've launched some products outside of kombucha now. But you know, so we're saying we make drinks that fight death. So it's a longevity play, you know, anything with a functional beverage. But it was, you know, it all did start as Mortal Kombucha. It was a Mortal Kombat pun. I thought it was kind of saw this like white space in the kombucha world pre-2020, and originally the pun started in 2017 when I was like, man, like I love kombucha. So many people think it's disgusting and gross. And to me, it was because all the brands were like going really into that like hippie namaste, you know, vibe. And for me, I always drank kombucha after a workout. I drank it when I couldn't slam another coffee back and I needed a little bit of energy. I drank it like diet soda when I didn't want to have fake sugars, which I do love a Coke Zero. But you know, and it was just this drink alternative with bubbles and flavor that was low calorie and had extra benefits. Mm-hmm. And I just was looking at the market and I was like, I'm going to make aggressive kombucha, one that's more in line with Monsters and Red Bulls and Rockstars. And I was just like joking, you know, and then I just like on the spot there was like, I'm going to make Mortal Kombucha, hashtag finish it. And at the time, you know, lots of kombuchas were always exploding. So I thought it was really funny, like we have these explosive bottles.
Yes.
And my background being in advertising, as this joke was coming to me, I found the domain, bought the domain, bought the Squarespace site, downloaded bottle mockups, mocked up labels, made a whole functioning like world, including like what I like to call little squares for social, and just started posting about these products. And I am a creative director copywriter, so I love writing product copy and naming things. So I had flavors. I had a fully functioning e-commerce store. The only thing I didn't have was products. But no one that bought it knew that.
Kind of important.
I just thought people would know it was a joke. I was downloading Mortal Kombat Fatality wallpaper and photoshopping out blood and then photoshopping in a champagne burst. So they were decapitating, you know, one another
with
bottles.
Yes.
So I just thought it was hilarious. And then people did started buying it. And I remember I got home from a freelance job at an agency one day. And I said to my husband, like, well, I started a kombucha company today. I guess we should figure out how to make that. And that we did. You know, I was like, how hard could it be to build a beverage brand? You just like mix it up. And little did I know, I'm doing glass, perishable, refrigerated distribution and all these other things. Hence why we've rolled out some new products that don't have all those caveats. But, you know, so now we do have Mortal Kombucha, which is, you know, nationwide. And we also this late spring just rolled out a prebiotic sparkling water with added function. So it's a little different than the other ones out there. It is a sparkling water, not a soda. You know, it's much more flavor profile in line with LaCroix and Spindrifts, but it has prebiotics. And then each flavor has an additional thing like one has magnesium, one has caffeine, one has electrolytes, and one has collagen. So it's called Mortal Power because it has lots of power in it. Yeah.
Oh my
so that's
God.
Where we are now. A couple of years later. So I figured it out.
Was this like something that you had brewing in your brain by yourself, or were you socializing this with, you know, your friends and family?
No, we were at a freelance project. I was waiting in line for coffee because we were on our like seventh round of feedback. And I was like, oh my God, I can't drink any more coffee. Oh, yeah. I guess I'll get this kombucha. And I was holding the kombucha and I was spinning in my hand and in the ingredients profile on this brand.
Yeah.
The last ingredient was 100% purified love. And I, right there, I was like, this is the problem with kombucha. You know, like you're in the creative department, you've been worked to death and you're like, this is the problem. All these brands, this is so ridiculous. I'm going to make violent kombucha because it is a violent drink. It explodes at you. Why is everyone putting love into this crap? So that's where it's
incredibly earnest product category, right?
Yeah. So I decided we were not going to be earnest. And so that joke was late 2017. And then over Christmas break, I made some kombucha. And then 2018, we launched in stores or, you know, some local coffee shops or people that I knew. And then 2019, we went into Whole Foods. 2020, we kind of reset. And then 2020, we went from just being like the Rocky Mountain region of Whole Foods to like 30 something states nationwide. So that was cool.
Wow. Congratulations. That's a big deal.
Yeah. And I think now we're in like 42. So just not the South.
So a little bit of a reluctant CPG entrepreneur. Do I understand this correctly?
No, I think a reluctant natural brand, you know, so the thing for me was there's a King Supers, which is a Kroger right within a mile from my house. For me to get anywhere else, I have to like make a trip. I'm a new mom. So like, it's really easy for me to just like go to the regular grocery store where things are cheaper and they're going to have everything I need. And I was kind of just, you know, like when I would shop at, you know, some natural stores, it would just be like, whoa, as I'm trying to grow my family and my life, like this isn't really accessible for me. So I was, as we kind of grow the brand, I'm like, we need to make products. Obviously we're still, you know, we're not a LaCroix price for our sparkling waters, but they have extra stuff. But it was like, you know, how can you make products that feel like Mountain Dew, feel like Coke Zero, feel like cheese puffs and fun. And they just feel like they feel as fun as your conventional products, but they're made with better ingredients and and they don't even have to nod to wholesomeness.
Right.
Like, I don't even need to know, I don't even need to know this is good for me. I just want to trust this brand that it's going to be fun. And we do that, like our kombucha is made traditionally in small batches. It's flavored with organic fruit. We use non-GMO. It has a ton of probiotics, but we don't really talk about any of that. We just want flavor. For me, like, I just wanted to make less burden on a person. I feel like sometimes when you do buy, you go into like your natural food stores, you know, you're bombarded by like, save the planet with this brand, you know, this area, save this demographic of people, you know, solve this problem. So like, and I just wanted to be like, we'll do that. Like we're 1% for the planet. We'll do all that, but just enjoy this one thing. And we're not going to burden you with the problems of the world. Like, especially nowadays, I feel like we're entering a time where obviously there's just tumultuousness everywhere and you just don't need to be reminded about it. So we're just trying to have fun. And I don't know how to, sometimes I feel like where it's like, you have to be mission driven, and our mission is to like, not remind you about everything else that's going on.
Oh my gosh. What a great, we're going to remind you that life is great.
I used to always hate when I'd be in a yoga class and they would be like, okay, forget about the lists of things you have to do. And I'd be like, oh God, why am I in this yoga class?
Exactly.
Don't talk about it. Just talk about yoga right now. So yeah.
So funny. Here's the thing is, when I started this podcast, and people have been listening to this show for a while, know this, because it's now, we're going on over 2 years. The biggest issue that I have with the naturals industry is it's inaccessibility, and it's kind of, I'm not going to say holier than thou, because that's not true so much anymore. I mean, when we started working in the natural space back in 2011, it was incredibly earnest, right? It's mainstreamed now for the most part. But what's happening is we have identified that this industry, or that our target audience, is like these white upper middle class women that live up in the Hollywood Hills. And the reality is the rest of the universe actually want these amazing products. Like we still want our Cheetos, and we still want our whatever, our Pepsis or Coke Zeros, or we still want to buy Pampers because of price point or whatever. And we focus all of our marketing and our advertising to this really small group of people, and nobody else in the industry has an opportunity to get this messaging. And what I love about what you're saying here is you're saying, not only are you talking about accessibility from a price point and distribution standpoint, but you're also talking about accessibility. And like, we're going to talk to somebody, this is a net new audience, the way you're describing it, net new audience, people who've never been talked to before that really might like kombucha. They just don't want to subscribe to this very naturals way of living. Right. They don't want to be that earnest. They want to be sort of earnest. Right.
Yeah. I think we sometimes say like the kombucha curious, they're like, I know I'm supposed to try this or like this or drink this, but no way.
Yeah.
And we're like, well, would you do it with bright colors and flashy label and something that just feels fun and we're not going to be in your face about any of the benefits. And then they taste it and they're like, oh wait, this isn't that bad. Like, the food show that we were just at, it was a conventional retailer group, and it was funny, you know? So like, it was funny being there, like, and having the people come up, and we were not at, you know, fancy food show, which in by its name, you know, we were at, you know, the Meadowlands in a parking lot, more or less. And it was cool to see how much it resonates with people. And it's just like, man, we can do this. And I don't know why you wouldn't, outside of the cost of it for a brand, I don't know why you wouldn't want to be a Walmart brand. Like someone once said, it will dilute your brand. I'm like, I don't think those two worlds are shopping together. It's just the product you put in there, how you put it in there, how you talk about it has to be totally different than how you talk about a similar product when it's in your Whole Foods. And I think the same product can live. It's just, you have to realize that different things are going to hit differently and your forward facing message is going to be different. But also, that's the real consumer in America. So like, let's just do them better. Like, you don't need to do Miss LA Hollywood Hills better. She's fine. She's getting her hyperbaric.
She's already good.
She's good. She's got gua sha, you know?
And here's the thing. And like, if we flip the same narrative and look at it from the other side, it's like, it's incredibly classist to say that people at Walmart don't want to live a healthier life.
no, I think they just, it's not there for them. So, you know, that,
right.
It's not easy. So I don't know. Yeah. I mean, I know that we're not there, but that would be my dream, you know, just to create a brand that could scale to the point where it's like, hey, this is cool. This is fun.
Yep.
This is as fun as Cheetos and Cocoa Puffs.
Well, let's, you know, Kroger is a great place to start. I mean, yeah. Kroger, Walmart, and like all of it. So I love it. I think it's super fantastic. And things that I've talked about with like Mondelez in the past, it's like, well, how do we get people who are drinking Mountain Dew and eating Cheetos to go to kale chips and kombucha? Well, it's a bunch of baby steps and some of it's messaging, right?
And I think Mondelez, Mondelez is doing a great job of some of the brands that they're helping scale. They're a great example with that Snack Futures platform that they have.
Yeah, agreed. Well, so I'm laughing to myself because as I was preparing for our time together, I'm like, okay, she's got this kombucha brand and she's a creative director on the side and you're a new mom. So you probably never sleep or you figured out how to add another 24 hours to your day. I'm not quite sure how you're doing it. And it could be your sheer exhaustion that creates your success. But I'm wondering, like, how are you doing it? Like, that's a lot. I mean, just a startup and just a beverage company in and of itself is a lot of work. And here you are with all of it.
Yeah, I have an amazing husband who is an awesome dad. So that's cool and super supportive and lets me sleep in when I can find the hours and just... Let's me
sleep. You find those hours. Yeah.
So he's amazing. I have an amazing partner that I brought on in 2020 with Mortal, who really had the things that he's good at are all the things that I either was bad at or hated doing. So it alleviates, and that's mostly anything on a spreadsheet. So he dissects things, bullet points, lists for me. So he handles a lot of the operations and scheduling freight. That's probably one of my favorite things in the world. He handles a lot of just the day-to-day logistics. So that's really cool. So I can focus on a lot of the relationships, stores, you know,
good.
A lot of sales and marketing. And I guess on the creative director front, it feels like a hobby, but the thing that, you know, I love, and I, you know, I love building brands from the creative side. I love creating worlds and, points of view and differentiation through the creative process, you know, not just the product. So that when I do that, you know, if it's a freelance project or whatever, it's just, it's fun for me. To write scripts and come up with creative solutions and storytelling. Yes. So that's really lucky that I do love, the thing that probably, pays my mortgage.
I'm curious how your life as a creative director, your history as a creative director influences how you lead and run Mortal Kombucha. So the creative side for me and probably for anybody in creative, like we get it, like that for you, easy peasy. Do you feel like you have a unique way of growing this brand from on the business, more on the business, the charts and graphs, financial side, that maybe other people who have accounting backgrounds or operations background, like the people that have those kind of backgrounds have a different way of looking at the business than you do. Do you feel like you have some sort of X-ray power or do you bring something different to the leadership table?
I think what I bring, I think from the creative side, bringing it into the accounting or, you know, I'm always like, well, there has to be, if we get a no or a that's not how, I'm always like, there has to be like another way, right? So I think I'm and that might just be a more of a personality trait. I'm like,
might be.
I don't like no's. I think like no to that, but like there has to be another way we can like get this pallet of product to that warehouse tomorrow. Like, you know, so I think I'm always trying to like push and like find a way to a yes, in different ways. And I think maybe that comes from, you know, like being in the creative department where you show 98 ideas and they all get killed and you're just like, well, here's 99, here's 100, you know, and nothing becomes precious. It just becomes like, well, if you can't do that, I'll bring you another idea. I'll bring you another iteration. Don't worry. Like we'll find yes.
Yeah.
And I think there's that, but then I think, it definitely on the other side, working with brands doing creative, I have a whole new perspective of when they say no. Because
what that means.
Oh yeah, because like you don't have any stores open because your chicken is delayed, or it mostly makes me, I used to work on Miller High Life when I worked at Saatchi. And we would always come to them with like a great packaging idea. Like, we got a brilliant idea. And they would be like, we're not changing the packaging. Stop bringing us packaging ideas. You cannot change the can. And now having something where it's like, oh yeah, we need to order a truckload. It'll take us a year to go through a truck. No. And I'm like, oh, and they're like cheaper than us, bigger. Oh yeah. They have a lot of cans. That's why they didn't want to like change a little look on the can. So I think there's things where I'm like, maybe before my ideas would be more free. Now I've created little boxes. So that's sometimes like hinders definitely my creative process of like, oh, they're never going to actually do this. Why are we bringing these ideas? They don't have, you know, but I think it definitely gives you perspective of when you're working with some brands and you're like, you don't need me to bring you TV ideas. You want some really cool shelf talkers that you can send to your merchandising teams that are actually like in a stock print off thing, because you can't even afford to die. We'll bring you that. So I think that perspective has been helpful.
Absolutely. And I think something else, at least the way we look at it, and I feel like there's like a little bit of a mind meld here because we both have worked in similar roles. There's something about bringing those big ideas to the table as long as you're addressing those other needs. Like if you guys bring a big idea to the table now, you're probably already going, and here's how we're going to resolve these 17 other issues that I know you're going to bring up in order to make it happen, right? Rather than kabloom, here's our great idea. Now you're going into the business and adding a little bit layer of value as a partner rather than just, I hate saying just creative because it is a lot of work to do creative. But when you start how we're going to impact distribution, we'll do a hot conversion here, cold conversion here, blah, blah, blah. And suddenly they're like, oh, okay, now I can think differently in another level.
That's exactly right. And then I guess my frustration now with Mortal is people are like, oh, you're a creative director, you can do all this cool stuff. And I'm like, we don't have execution and we don't have audience. So there's no point of doing creative.
Right.
So, you know, and we're small and we're bootstrapped for the most part. So people will be like, oh, did you see what this brand did? And I'm like, I can't pay for media. Like, and the greatest creative in the world. And I'm truly a believer of this. There was like a big debate on Twitter the other day. Great creative. If you don't have media dollars, nothing can save great creative is dead without media. I believe that a little bit. Like you have to.
You do? Okay.
I do believe that media or like being able to execute. So execution includes placement and actually giving it to the audience. So that might be buying your audience, which is media dollars. But because we've had lots of great stuff, I think. But we can't execute or get an audience because, you know, that's not where we have money at the time.
Interesting.
I mean, I think there's breakthrough and there's examples for every role, but I think you have to be able to amplify it. And if you, and that costs money these days, especially with like all the changes online for
iOS. Facebook is a wreck. You and I will talk offline. I'm going to give you a little intel on some of the stuff that if you aren't taking advantage of, at least that you could hear about it. I know you're already stretched on time, so you can do it while you're sleeping.
Awesome.
Multitask. Okay. All right. Tell me a little bit about how you, let's go back to your brand for a second here and let's talk about how did you know, or when did you know you were headed in the right direction with this idea?
Oh, I still don't know if I am. It might be terrible. For me, I was just like, why? I couldn't believe that no one had done it before. So from the jump, I was like, how does nobody have this website? How does nobody have this Instagram?
Yes.
How does Mortal Kombucha? I thought it was like a no-brainer. And I was, you know, and I think as you go down, you're like, there was a moment where I was like, is it a good idea? Is it a brilliant idea that no one had? Or is it a bad idea? And that's why no one has done it. You know, there's always this this thing. But, you know, I think it was actually this past year where I think we were a little ahead of the trend, because I think when we launched this in 2018, which is, you know, 4 years ago now, there was still a very, I'm calling it like an LA aesthetic of like normcore kind of thing, where it was like palm trees and pastels and
ombre.
And I was ombres, gradients. And I was bringing in like 90s Santa Cruz skateboards, Scott.
Yes.
And people were like, ooh, like we had some retailers that said, my consumer wouldn't want this. This is too aggressive. Those same retailers now carry Liquid Death, which I think is the violent mosh pit version of our doubt ska land that I've created. But I think it's really funny. And there's an example of dollars to execute. So I think basically in the last year, a lot of the decision makers at grocery stores and buyers will get on with them and we'll show them our pitch deck and, you know, for sales deck. And they're my age now. And that means that they grew up in the 90s.
Right.
The aesthetic that we were bringing forward. And it's just funny, like just over the last 4 years, the shift in like, whoa, this is crazy to like, oh God, like the decision makers now are understanding what I'm looking for. And I also think if you walk into a Target and you look at the clothes that are there right now, they're your psychedelic checker prints. They're like what Roxy and Stussy and Quiksilver used to look like at a Pacific Sunwear. It's like this maximalist design and it's in your face. And I think now we're on trend, maybe a little bit before we were a little before it, you know, so we have to keep up in our crazy, but that's like, it was this year, like when buyers were just like, oh my God, this reminds me of Tragic Kingdom. I love this. Oh, this reminds me of Santa Cruz skateboards. And like the first time I wore Vans as a fifth grader, I'm like,
yes,
welcome.
And yes, check. I love it.
Those are the things I like. Yeah. People just want Lisa Frank and Trapper Keepers now. And so, I'm waiting for an Elf reboot personally. I want Elf.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
But
oh my gosh. Oh, well, let's talk a little bit about leadership. Now, in CPG, a lot of bros, a lot of guys. Where do you have any mentors on the CPG side? Who are they? How are they helping you? And if not, how did you get your mentorship? Like sometimes you have a mentor and other times you look to people or companies for mentorship. How did that look for you?
I am always accepting applications for new mentors. So feel free. My mentor, I think I have like a broad base of like brains that I kind of tap into whenever I kind of need help. I am probably too transparent sometimes with.
Is that possible?
Possibly like when someone that is a mentor could be an investor and you've told them like the fires and too many fire stories. Maybe, but I basically like anytime I've needed help or. Sometimes I feel like I don't know what the question is to even ask me. I go and I've talked to people. So like in the very beginning, there's a friend of mine who has a company called SW Basics. They were like one of the first organic skincare companies or natural products. Yeah. Like five ingredients are left, started in Brooklyn in an apartment. And her name's Adina Gregore. So she's definitely someone that I'm just like, help, you know. Her company has been through basically everything. And so she was definitely a shoulder in the very beginning and still to this day, just to talk to someone for like an hour of like, oh my God. And then from there, it's really just been like anyone that has experience, especially not coming from CPG. And I come from the creative department. You're so isolated from everything that actually builds a business. Like I think I'm really great at building a brand. Building a company and a business is a whole nother thing.
Yeah, it's so a different thing.
I basically feel very lucky that I'm in Boulder, which has a lot of brands that have come out of it. I somehow tricked Naturally Boulder into putting me on their board. So it's given me a bunch of people. so I'm on the board of Naturally Boulder. And basically those, I feel like I just have like great minds around me there. People have built multiple companies, and I'll talk with Andy Judd, who is now the CMO, I believe, of Laird Superfoods. Before that, he was at Yasso. Before that, he was at One Bar. And I forget, before that, he was at somewhere else. So those are also companies I've worked with from the creative side. So they kind of know you from there, and they know you're working on this thing.
Yeah.
Bill Capsalis, I talk to him all the time, and he's been amazing. I feel like it is actually mostly men. So that's fun.
Yeah, it is mostly men in beverage for sure.
But you know, they've been amazing. Just like, hey, this is what's going on. How do you do this? Or like, what question am I? I feel like a lot of the times when I'm learning everything from scratch, and I'm sometimes solving the wrong problem. You know, I think, and sometimes I need that guidance where people have been amazing to help me figure out what is the actual problem. You know,
yeah.
Like my biggest, like very analog example was when we were still making it ourselves, the date coder took forever to like basically sticker the bottom of every bottle with a date code. And I was like, we need to make this faster. We need one of those laser guns that like, so we bought a laser gun and we bought a conveyor belt. So now the bottles would come off our janky line, and it would go and it would get scanned by the laser, and we got the laser to work, and we were so excited and we're cheering. And then I realized that we didn't have a collection table. So it was hitting the lip of the table, and they were all rolling off, and we like broke the first 10 bottles. And I was like, oh God, wrong problem. You know, and so I feel like there's a lot of times where it's bigger than that. And the bigger you get, the bigger those problems are. And you just, you think that you're plugging one hole and that actually created another. So mentorship in it is like really important with that, because they let you step back for a second. And I think also having Scott and the right people around me let me kind of step back also and see what's going on with the business and make better decisions for its direction as well.
Yep. Wow. Yeah. Oh gosh.
It was a mess. Lots of glass. Oh,
just being in the industry, lots of, if this is just part of being an entrepreneur, and, it says a lot about you that you just keep going. You just keep going.
I mean, I laugh. I'm like, well, okay, well, we spend $5,000 on a coder. I wonder if you can return this.
Laser coder. Now we need to spend $10,000 on a collection table.
No, seriously, the collection table was $5,000 and the coder was $5,000. And I was just like, is this really $5,000 of time?
Yeah, right.
Oh, we're going back to the gun. We're going back to the sticker gun. Sell everything.
ROI all the time, baby. Yeah. Oh my gosh. So what are you most proud of in this moment? Like where you are today, and you might have a few of them, but like, what's the one that you like to share or the one that you'd like to share?
Ooh. I feel like I'm really, oh my God, that's like probably the hardest question, because I feel like every day is a roller coaster of emotions.
I know.
I'm really, really proud of the brand that we built, and staying true. From the packaging, like I love the packaging. I love that we stayed true to this look, full, like all in, despite what a lot of people said. I remember when we were launching the new packaging.
Yeah.
I was deciding between two different labels. One was very toned down. We were gonna up it with copy and stuff,
but
it definitely fit in. And then I remember when I saw this one with my designer friend, I was like, oh, that one scares me. This could break the brand, or it'll be a winner and it will break through. I guess if you're going into a very crowded category where there's a lot of competition and a very limited amount of space because it's refrigerated, you might as well not look anything like anything else. Right. You know, like, because it's not like you can compete on media dollars, you know, or anything like that. So let's look crazy. And now I feel like we need to up it and look crazier, but that's what I'm most proud of, that we've like really stayed true with through and through with everything of like, we're going to be over the top. Our, you know, our coupons are over the top looking, everything aesthetically is like, I've been able to like basically project my brain and put it out on paper, which I feels really great, especially from a creative when you're always doing other people's projects. So that's the most thing I'm prouder of.
Yeah. Oh, that's cool. Yeah. Well, what kind of advice would you give somebody who's following a similar journey as yours, meaning I've not done this before, I have this great, crazy idea, I think, like, what do you tell people?
It's probably cliche, but like, I the way I started was I had no idea. There was no business plan. There was nothing. Like I've definitely spoken to people and they're like, I'm almost got the label right. And then I'm going to launch. And to what we were speaking about before, you don't even know what your problems are going to be. Just launch. Right. If you can afford to do it in the size that you can afford to, like, you know, we really grew from a 1 gallon glass jar to a couple 2 gallon ones to some 5 gallon ones.
Right.
And everything funded itself. And then of course there's a point where you have to get ahead of the growth, but and money wise, but I think you just try and to take a page from the tech community, which is like agile development, where it's like, you launch and fix, and then you're amending it. There are things that are always kind of changeable as you're going, and to not hesitate and to trust your gut. And if you have a vision, just like have the people whose opinion, ask everyone, but be true to your own opinion.
Yeah.
So just because everyone's done things a million ways. People who have launched companies 10 years ago, it's very different launching it tomorrow.
It's very different now. Yes.
And so find the experts that you trust.
Yeah.
But then also, like, if you're passionate about it, just go for it and make sure, you know, it doesn't break you, or know how much risk you're willing to take. Because I mean, there's things like I'm willing not to risk.
Right. Know,
so that's okay.
Yeah.
And the other thing is you, and I feel very strongly about this, and this goes back to my risk. Someone told me a while ago, they're like, oh, so do you still take freelance work, or do you still work in creative? And I was like, yeah, I have to have a life. Like, I'm 40 years old. I have a kid, I have a house, I have a mortgage.
Right.
I want to grow this. We're not at a point where it can completely pay for my life. So of course I take work. And they're like, oh, so you're not all in. And I was like, oh no, I'm all in. For me to be completely at ease, and being able to focus and have my brain work on my company, I could not be financially paranoid.
Right.
And so having that taken care of and knowing where my limit is and what workload I can take on to give me that sense of peace inside of me means I had to keep taking work.
Yeah.
And that lets me be creative and solve problems and be enthusiastic and not feel like drained running this company. Yeah. And I just don't think that the all in means that you can't take care of your needs by other ways. And I'm very adamant about that, especially as a woman and who wants to have a family. So I think you can do it all. Like, Oprah does a lot. Many people have multiple companies. So like, why can't you have multiple jobs, especially when you work from home?
Yeah. So
that's like my big thing, is like, you can do more than one thing.
Yeah. Well, and there's something to be said. There's something to be said for this. There's something that you're saying here that I'd say to the merchandisers and the buyers and the other entrepreneurs that are listening to this, is that the reality is when a startup brand or a young brand, and young can be up to 10 years, frankly, because usually it's the first 10 years that are the rockiest for the most part. But if you have an entrepreneur that has financial stability, they're going to actually make better decisions. They're going to, when you are in a position where every move is terrifying because of the financial implications, you're actually not going to make the best choices for your brand. You really aren't. You're not going to make the right risk. You're not going to make the right risk choices. And the only way to be successful, especially if you want to blow something up, is to make risky decisions. And that term is, for a lot of people, sketch, right? Because people think risky, they think bad. Not true. You just have to kind of trust your gut and go, I'm going to make this choice over this choice because blah, blah, blah. So I think it's smart. I think I'm impressed, and I don't think that I don't know that I have the bandwidth to do what you're doing. Meanwhile, I'm, you know, over here running a company and I'm getting my MBA and I've got a podcast. So I mean, everybody's doing, you know, I'm just as busy, just in a different capacity. But I think for those people, particularly the younger entrepreneurs, to kind of go, yeah, you might have to have a side hustle to your side hustle, or your brand might need to be the side hustle, because so that you can just have peace at night, like you're saying, not a bad idea.
Yeah,
everybody can do it. Not everybody can do it, but if you can, not a bad idea.
Yeah, sleep is important. So if you can't sleep at night, not that I have. There's definitely problems and stuff that keeps me up at night, but I like know at the end of the day everything's going to be okay, and that helps me continue forward.
Well, so what's next for you? What's next for Mortal Ventures?
So the big thing for us is really showing that we are more than just kombucha. That's our number one goal for this year. So that sparkling water launch was really big. It's slowly rolling out across the country. Should be like pretty nationwide by the end of the year. And I think we'll be like 50% sales. So that's really cool. We do have a hard kombucha available in just Colorado right now. So we're trying to figure out, like, do we want to continue pushing that, or do we give it its non-kombucha counterpart? So that's exciting. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow. And so I think it's just really, you know, it goes back to the first thing we spoke about. It's how can we actually make the vision is, and that really approachable brand that just so happens to be good for you.
Yeah.
Wow. And that just so happens is like the most important part.
Oh my goodness. Well, Becca, really enjoying our conversation. Our time's almost up, but I have two questions I like to ask everybody. And one is, what trends are you following right now in like food and beverage and wellness?
Oh man. I mean, I always follow the functional trends. I think, ketones are super, super crazy. Yeah. The products that put you in ketosis. Borderline. I drank pure ketones the other day. The company, The Feed, I was over there and they have a lot of different ketone products. And the president and founder there was like, you got to try this. And he pulled out his camera. And I was like, he's like, when you drink it, you have to face the camera. Cause it was like this little vial and it was like $40.
Oh my God.
I was like, how bad is it? He's like, just drink it. And wow. Like I've never tasted anything like this before. So that'll be interesting if you can make drinks that don't taste like that. But ketosis is a cool concept, especially from sports. I come from sports. My husband was an athlete as well. So that sport product could be really cool. I think also the way that the brand is like kind of pivoting it and looking at sports as sport. Yeah. Because I think sport is about optimization, and optimization is like
absolutely
a non-janky way to say wellness.
Absolutely.
So I like the idea of optimizing. So I kind of look at those kind of trends of like hard hitting wellness. Yeah. So not ashwagandha, but nootropics and ketones or
that.
So I look at those a lot and just like toy around with ideas in my head that then my operations guy tells me we can't do, you know. So that's one trend. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Are there any other women leaders or rising stars out there in our CPG world or not that you would like to elevate or simply admire for the work that they're doing right now?
I mean, I'm like 100% fangirl of Christina Tosi of Milk Bar. I love her. I think I've watched her Chef's Table episode probably like 5 times. And I just think that she's joyful. And I think maybe it is because like I'm just thinking about it now, like she started putting fun cereals and cakes and things like that.
Right.
And was working at like, you know, 5-star Michelin star, whatever it was, restaurants. Right. But she was making these child nostalgia inspiring desserts.
Right.
With like an elevated craft. And I think that she has this youth and joy that's super amazing and you can taste it. And I love that. So, and I think she's built, you know, is pretty awesome. And she's funny on Instagram. So.
Wow. My goodness. Okay. That's cool. I really like her a lot too. And I'm always impulse buying something new every time I see it on shelf. So clearly I'm her target audience. Oh my goodness. Well, we have been talking with Becca Sheps, founder and CEO of Mortal Ventures and maker of Mortal Kombucha. Becca, where can people learn more about you and your brand?
Our website is drinkmortal.com. And so you can find out all of our products are there. We do ship if you want any. Other than that, my personal website's iambecca with the .ca at the end. Okay. And I'm on LinkedIn if you want to reach out.
Excellent. Thank you so much for your time today. I'm really glad that we connected and got to learn more about you. I'm super excited to see what the next couple of years look like for you. Probably we'll have 14 more companies by the time we talk to you. Kind of guessing. I don't know. And I want to thank all of you listeners for joining us today. If you like this episode, please share it with a friend. Otherwise, have a great rest of your day. And we'll catch you next time on the Gooder Podcast.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. And if you haven't already, be sure to click subscribe and share with your network. Until next time, be well and do gooder.